evening.
Tonight we'll be taking a look at Psalms 70. Not one of the longest psalms that we've been seeing in our series, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. It shouldn't take long, but we will go ahead and take a look at it right now. This is a prayer for relief from adversaries to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame, who say, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. In this state, we see David in a very precarious situation. He's at a point of desperation, needing deliverance, begging to God practically for it. We see that emphasized in verse number 5, especially when he says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. And it made me think about, we all have had situations in our life where we felt we've needed deliverance from one thing or another. There's been something going on that's been kind of hanging over us that has been very difficult and something difficult to handle. There's a couple of stories I wanted to talk about tonight also in relation to this. One revolving around myself and one regarding Jonah in the Old Testament. Now the one regarding myself is when I was in grad school in my last semester. This takes us all the way back to 2006. You take a look at some of the things going on in the world at that point. George W. Bush was president. The St. Louis Cardinals won the World Series. And Daniel Powter had the number one song in the world with Had a Bad Day, which is very coincidental, but very appropriate for what we're going to be talking about tonight. Well, this came down to my last semester of grad school. I was very excited. The end was in sight. But at the same time, I was considerably stressed because I knew the workload that I was going to have during that time. Well, got a little sick at the beginning of the semester and found out I had tonsillitis. And they say tonsillitis is really especially worse when it happens to adults instead of when it happens to kids. Didn't have it as a kid, but having had it as an adult, I have to say, they were right. I had to have my tonsils removed during the spring break of my last semester. And at that point, I was glad to get rid of them, but at the same time, terrified knowing that I was going to go through 2 weeks of the worst pain of my life. So we had it done, and I was still numbed up pretty much for the first couple of days. I had a sore throat, but the brunt of the pain had not hit at that point. I basically, about 2 or 3 days into it, started having some of the worst pain I've ever known in my life, where it hurt every time to swallow. I would basically come to the point where I would have to clench my fist and prepare myself every time I had to swallow. And it really makes you notice how many times you swallow throughout the day when you're doing this continuously. Well, within a week, the doctor gave me some pain medication, but it didn't prevent the pain. It only prevented me from sleeping. So I basically would sleep for about 2 hours a night and then wake up and be wide awake till to be left to my own devices for the better part of the evening when everyone's asleep. So after that, the first couple of days of going through this, it was like, all right, this is rough. I can handle it. But at the same time thinking, man, I hope this doesn't last too much longer because I have a fairly high threshold for pain. However, I think this is going to push that limit. Within a week, I got to the point where I was just completely desperate for this to be over with. It was at the point of misery. And everything I'd ever heard about having the worst pain of your life was completely true. So I basically got to the point where I wasn't I wasn't quite to the point of praying for death, but I was at the point where I was pleading for God to rescue me and deliver me from this horrible circumstance I was in. It was not something that went away immediately, but within another week of challenges, I was able to, the pain finally started going away, and I could actually get to the point where I didn't have to clench my fist every time I swallowed throughout the day. So like, all right, this is great. I can get back. I mean, I've got a few more months of school left, and I'm going to be done. At that time, I mean, the rest of the semester seemed like a breeze after getting through that. Was definitely the worst part of that. But at the worst point of that, I still couldn't help but pretty much beg God to just take this from me. Please do whatever you can to just deliver me from this, because this has been some of the worst pain of my life. I had kind of gotten to that point of reaching rock bottom, to where I felt like, I don't know how much more of this I can take before I just go absolutely crazy. And as I was pleading at that time, basically, with God to deliver me from this, and then it reminded me of a story from the Old Testament where someone else was going to be doing some significant pleading, and that was Jonah. As we know in Jonah, God commands him to go speak to the Ninevites. The Ninevites were very, very wicked and in need of redemption. God commanded Jonah to go speak to them, to plead with them to repent of their sins and to change their ways. Through nothing less but stereotypical hatred of them, Jonah refused, and he did the exact opposite. He got on a boat, and he headed in the other direction. Well, we all know, as the story goes, God caused a great storm to come upon Jonah, and the men who were on the boat with him knew that, well, this is happening because of you. What did you do? And he eventually came to the point and said, you know what, this is because of me. You're going to have to throw me overboard. So they threw him overboard, and he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish. And it's at this point where we see Jonah's plea to God in Jonah chapter 2. I'm going to read that chapter at this moment. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah on a dry land. And we know, as the story continues, Jonah does go and preach to the Ninevites, and to his dismay, the Ninevites do... They do change their ways, and they decide to turn their lives over to God. But when you look back at this section where Jonah's pleading to God just to get out of the fish's belly, it gets to the point where he's more seeking his will, not God's. He was more concerned with doing what he wanted to do, and not as concerned about doing God's will and what he knew that he really needed to be doing. This is something that we see so often in our lives, because I know, through just basic human temptation, we're constantly bombarded by Satan with temptation to do what we want to do. I mean, we have slogans thrown in our face on a daily basis, like, have it your way, and things like that that make it seem like, well, if I don't have it my way, then something's wrong. When in the end, we do know that what we have to do is God's will, not our own, because God's will trumps ours every day of the week and twice on Sunday. We know that our unselfish desires can get in the way of doing God's will, and at the same time, it can not only hurt our spiritual lives, but can hurt our physical lives as well if taken in certain directions. Tonight, just to summarize, I basically just want to say, when you have opportunities to be, when you are in torment, when you are in need of deliverance, if you have the chance, please take a step back and think, this is all something that God is having me go through as a part of his plan. It's not something that if I do ask for him to take it away from me, it is something that may, in the short term, make me feel better, but it could be something in the long term that can make me stronger. I think in overall, when we do concentrate on God's will and not that of our own, we know that how small and how tiny we are in the grand scheme of things, and that we can do selfish things like asking God to take away the pain for a little while, or asking him to not make us go preach to people that we don't approve of. However, in the end, we have to remind ourselves that God's will be done and not our own. And I think if we remember that, we'll all be so much better off in our daily walk with him. If anyone is in need of prayers right now, please come forward as we stand and sing.